Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Diary, July to November 18th, 97. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. July 29th to November 6th, 1897. Portions of this manuscript are published in 3 SM 118 to 119, TDG 220, UL 324, VSS 121, HP 326, 8MR 254. July 29th, 28, 1897. I awaken at 2:30 and offer up my prayer to God in the name of Jesus. I am weak in physical strength. My head is not free from pain. My left eye troubles me. In writing upon the life of Christ, I am deeply wrought upon. I forget to breathe as I should. I cannot endure the intensity of feeling that comes over me as I think of what Christ has suffered in our world. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed, if we receive him by faith as our personal Savior. Everything is at stake with us. Our obedience or disobedience to the commandments of God will decide our eternal welfare. If ye keep my commandments, Christ says, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. John 15, verse 10. If ye love me, keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Verses 21, 23, 24. Now is our time of probation. Now is our time of test and trial. Will we be obedient to God? Will we respect the commandments which are the rule of His government in heaven and in earth? If men respect not a plain, thus saith the Lord, but accept the word and commandments of men, if they venture to dishonor God's law and compel the consciences of men, forcing them to respect human laws and enactments, they exalt the human above the divine and plainly say, we will not have this man to rule over us. We will receive the commandments of men and teach them as the commandments of God. Thus they bind up with the first great apostate and decide their future destiny. July 30th, 29, 1897. I was able to sleep till 3:30. I thank the Lord that I am gaining some strength. I pray to Him. I give myself to His service. I long for physical strength and health, for mental clearness, that I may render to God acceptable service. Ye have not chosen me, Christ has said, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go, and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. John 15, verse 16. The word is full of precious promises. I shall have strength of eyesight. I shall have strength of brain. I shall have clearness of conception and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because I ask in the name of Jesus. Precious Savior, He gave His life for me. Oh, the depths of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Romans 11, verse 33 to 36. I long for the benefits that we all may receive through faith. Now is our opportunity to hide our life with Christ in God. Every moment of our time is precious. The precious talents lent us of God are to be employed in His service. Ye are not your own, For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, 20. Yes, we are the Lord's blood-bought heritage. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. This God requires of every one who shall compose his family in the kingdom of heaven. All selfishness must be overcome. We must be true to God, true as steel to all his commandments. Human beings frame laws and are very zealous for their enactment. At the same time, they transgress the highest law from the mightiest sovereign. This they attempt to make null and void. They exalt the human above the divine. Shall I not judge for these things, saith the Lord of hosts? Jeremiah 5, verse 9. Yes, God will reward every man according to his works. Medical missionary work in Kurenbong, September 7, 1897. I cannot sleep past 2 o'clock this morning. I dress and ask the Lord's special blessing to rest upon me. Then I take my pen to write upon the life of Christ. I was glad to have an interview with Brother Haskell. We had some important things to talk about. I have not had time to visit the place where our meeting house is being built. They are working all the hands they can get in the framework of the building. Elder Haskell is of good courage. He says the morning meetings are good. I am glad that he is on the ground. He has had an experience in the advance movements of the work when the cause was much more limited than it is now. Then we were educated not to wait until we could see every step before us, but to move out by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We are not to be slow and undecided at a time when circumstances demand that we move, although we may not see the end from the beginning. When there is a work to be done, and minds are moved to action, to arise and build, Nehemiah 2, verse 20, it behooves us, when the help is at hand, to avail ourselves of every expedient and every suggestion that will help us to push the work of building as rapidly as possible, that we may have a house prepared to dedicate to the Lord at the close of the school term. Then the students can carry away with them the word that the chapel is built and preparations made to accommodate all who will worship God. Here we breathe the free, pure air, and all who come to reside at Kurenbong may get a quiet home, away from the noise and bustle of the city. There is work to be done here. Sarah has been engaged in medical missionary work since last Wednesday. We find those who meet with mishaps and know not what to do. One child away in the bush was fearfully burned and could not sleep. Sarah attended to the wound and the child recovered. Another lad, 8 years old, stepped into a hole where was some broken glass and cut his ankle in a most dreadful manner. We brought him to our home and are now giving him treatment. He is recovering. Maggie Hare fainted away after looking at the terrible wound. September 8, 1897. This morning it was almost 3 o'clock when I awoke. I had my season of prayer and then wrote 10 pages to the New Zealand Mail. Sarah was called away to attend Sister James. Her child, a son, was born early this morning. She felt full of gratitude to God for her safe delivery with so easy a time. Never before has she suffered so little. She has now 2 boys and 4 girls. I find myself nervous and tired through anxiety in many lines. But the Lord is good. I praise His holy name. Through the sickness of Sister James, Sarah was kept away from the sick boy a little longer than usual. He moaned constantly. When will she come? When will she come? When Sarah had taken a bite, she went across to May White's house to care for him. The proud flesh is now being conquered, and only a mite of it is left. Brother Haskell called for a few moments and reported that they had a good meeting this morning at the school. He wished me to be present of Thursday morning. He also reports that the building is going up, and that all the workers are laboring cheerfully and heartily as unto the Lord. We had a nice shower last night, and another slight rain this morning, but the building has not been hindered. The lady living about 3 miles off has brought her sick baby to us again. She lives in an open house and says that her baby was doing well under the treatment, but that it suddenly had another attack, and she knows not what to do. We invited her to take one of the 2 rooms above the storeroom, and we would make her comfortable and give her child treatment. But as her sister lives within 1 mile of us, she decided to go there. Sister Rob promised to give the child treatment. Sarah has Sister James and her baby and the sick boy to attend to, and these can in no case be neglected. The lad's aunt also has a swollen foot, which is being treated. We shall have to build a hospital on the school grounds. September 24, 1897. I cannot sleep past 1 o'clock. My soul is drawn out in earnest prayer to God. I take hold of His word, which is my only support, my only help. That word is sure as the throne of God. It can never fail. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, ye as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9-17. We need to understand that individually we are in co-partnership with God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, he admonishes us, and adds, It is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2, verse 12-13. Here is the cooperation of the divine with human agencies. Ye are God's husbandry. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Will the students apply this lesson while they are working upon the land, tilling the soil, plowing and harrowing, putting all the skill they possess into the work of bringing the land into a condition where it will be fit for the planting of the seed and the trees, preparatory to the harvest? Will they bear in mind that they are a part of God's husbandry, the Lord's farm, and that in this term of school there is a great deal of work to be done by those who are appointed to watch for souls as they that must give an account? There are hearts that need much more labor bestowed upon them because the soil has not been under the plow or the harrow. The hardened soil must be broken up and subdued so that the Word of God, the gospel seed, may find favorable soil for the production of a harvest. Let the standard call all their faculties of discernment to bear upon this subject. Let their skill interpret the figures used. The earth has to be worked to bring out its varied properties favorable to the growth of the seed and fruit. But the harvest will reward the painstaking efforts made in a supply of food for the necessities of man. September 25, 1897. Again, I cannot sleep past 1 o'clock. I arise and dress. I feel that God is my only helper. He knows what I need, and He can supply my every necessity. I come to my Heavenly Father in my weakness. I fall helpless, strengthless, upon His mercy. He is my all and in all, the first, the last, the best in everything. I cast my helpless soul upon Him, and I am comforted and blessed. Although weak, I attended meeting. The room was full of people, and there was little vitality in the air. But I had strength to speak to them, and entreat of them to seek the Lord with their whole heart. I told them that Jesus, our precious Savior, was only too willing to be found of all who would seek Him sincerely. We had a very precious testimony meeting. My heart is deeply moved as I consider that the school has been in session 5 months. I have made most earnest appeals, dwelling upon the words of the psalmist, Then shall I not be ashamed, when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Psalm 119, verse 6, 7, 9, 20. The truth has been presented before this people in clear lines. Will the birds be allowed to pick up the seed sown, which, if cherished, would lead unto eternal life? Our thoughts must be brought into captivity to Jesus Christ. We have no moments to lose in vanity. Our whole being must be consecrated to God. We must shake off the torpor that would steal upon us. As I saw that some were unable to keep awake, I proposed that all should rise and sing solemnly and slowly the words of the hymn, "There were 99." This was sung with interest, and then I addressed the people again. It is essential for the students and for all who are seeking for the salvation of their souls to educate themselves, to have a penetrating spirit in searching the Word of God. You need to study most diligently to understand the truth there revealed, to learn the truths which are presented. You are having most precious opportunities, but you must bear in mind that it is not a matter of merely human knowledge. Impressions must be made upon the mind and heart by the Spirit of God. The truth addresses itself to the heart and to the conscience. There must be a constant drawing nigh to the light of Christ, that we may catch His heavenly beams, and have a sense of the divine attributes that are stamped upon the soul. Satan will put everything possible in operation to divert the mind and occupy it with erring thoughts. The truths for these times claim our particular attention. Said Christ, "Take heed to yourselves how you hear." Luke 8, verse 18. You cannot afford to be dull scholars upon the greatest and most important truths that have ever been presented to our understanding. The heart must be diligently guarded. When these precious opportunities close, you will be exposed to temptations from which you are now very largely excluded. Therefore, a surface work in searching the Scriptures will not be of value to you. You will have nothing that you will be able to communicate. But if your hearts are now cleansed from rubbish and earthliness, your hearing will be mixed with faith. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Hebrews 4, verse 1, 2. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Verses 11 to 16. There are those who will go forth from this place of opportunity and privilege, having heard to a purpose. Some have eagerly gathered up the precious gems of truth, and as they have gathered, their souls have thirsted for more. These will continually dig for the truth as for hid treasure. All who will have a determined purpose for the right, as they shall go upon the campground, will by their course of action represent in a favorable light the school which they have attended. They will have anointed eyes to see, and sanctified ears to hear. They have not closed their eyes, lest they should see, nor their ears, lest they should hear. They have not barred the door of the heart, lest Jesus should find an entrance. They have not stifled their conscience, and prevented the work of the Holy Spirit upon the soul. Students, you cannot retain your selfishness, your own ways, and your ambitious projects. Your ways must change, and God's ways must become your choice. You must fall upon the rock and be broken, or the rock will fall upon you and grind you to powder. Self cannot have the supremacy. You have been bought with a price. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 19, verse 7. Had you not best study what this means? That law aims to convert mind and heart to correct principles of action. It will give reality to your practice and works by making Christ your Redeemer, your stronghold, laying hold of His righteousness, because He died to give you all the power and riches of His grace, that your practice might show your conversion. Believe in Jesus Christ as your complete Savior. Change your way to God's way. Choose a new path, the narrow path of holiness, which, if you follow on to know the Lord, will lead to the broad road of perfect freedom in Christ. You will follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. Will you search diligently the Word of God to see if you are indeed receiving Christ? As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. John 1, verse 12. All who have this genuine faith will practice the works of Christ, will reveal His Spirit, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verses 13, 14. We would have all the students who have attended the school influenced by the truth which has been kept before them. We would have them make a most diligent use of the light that shines from God's Word to them, and pursue no halfway course. Come out of yourself, away from yourself, and accept of Jesus Christ. Be decided, be firm, be wholehearted. Life and death are before you. Which will you choose? This matter calls for prompt and decided action. There should be no delay, for on these questions delays are dangerous. As line upon line and precept upon precept of the divine word is opened before you, take heed how you hear. Luke 8, verse 18. If the principles of our faith are accepted, there will be new impressions made, new duties will be presented before us, new lines of work will be seen in our practice. If we give to the searching of the Scriptures a divided heart, we shall receive superficial impressions which will quickly pass away. If we listen to the Word without giving it entrance to the heart, we shall be placed among the forgetful hearers. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that He had said before, This is the covenant which I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Having therefore boldness, brethren, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10, verse 14 to 17, 19 to 23. The light now shining upon our pathway will illuminate the minds of all who will walk in the light. He only remembers to do the will of God who makes a decided confession of faith, showing to all that he has the faith that is an active working agency, that faith that works by love and purifies the soul. This faith makes sin appear exceeding sinful. When duties are understood and yet are not performed, the light received becomes darkness to the receiver. The truth introduced into the life is always reformative. We are standing amid the perils of the last days. Only the present time in which you live and breathe is yours. Then day by day act as if each were your last. Take heed how you hear. Luke 8, verse 18. The messages of God's Word in appeals through His servants will not return to Him void. It is to each a savor of life unto life, or of death unto death. His Word will save or ruin us. After hearing the Word, we are no longer in the same position before God that we were before the light came. If we receive and act upon the light given, we will understand the Scripture, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Revelation 3, verse 8. I wish that all would realize their responsibilities. Now is the time when all should choose whom they will serve. During your term of school, you have had most precious light opened to your understanding. If teachers, as well as students, have had in them a heart to understand, they are no longer in ignorance in regard to their duty. You have been instructed abundantly in the truth, and if you now follow your own natural inclination, it is because you reject light and truth and evidence. You add to your past transgression new sin in refusing to be transformed and sanctified through the truth. After these opportunities and privileges in having the truth kept before you day after day for nearly 6 months, after coming in full contact with truth and evidence, your condemnation will stand written in the books of heaven. Just in proportion to the light you have received will be your punishment. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It would have been better had you been left in midnight darkness than to have had all the privileges and benefits you have received, and yet refuse to be obedient to the light given, refuse to be brought a penitent to the feet of Jesus to receive his pardon and become a witness for him. November 6th, 1897. I arise at 1:30. Every soul will be tried and tested, and at such time words should be few. Silence is true eloquence. God has made provision that his grace shall be abundantly provided. When his people look to him and call upon his name, he will hear their cry and say, "Here I am." Isaiah 58, verse 9. He declares, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new, sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the shittah tree, the cedar, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Isaiah 41, verse 10 to 20. And again, Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Luke 12, verse 32 to 34. We do not honor God if, when oppressed and afflicted, we mourn and repine, and speak words of complaining, when we cherish sadness and doubt of the goodness of God. We dishonor God when we permit our souls to be downcast. Even when in trouble, our faith should not fail. In the night seasons, I am troubled in regard to our great lack of faith and trust in God. Unbelief, when cherished, creates an atmosphere about the soul that is malarious. Distrust in God is an offense to Him. None need to feel that God has forsaken them. There must not be expressions of unbelief. This pleases and glorifies the enemy, and you do not reveal to the world that you recognize in Jesus a very present help in every time of need. The more we reveal the power of an indwelling Savior, the more of His power will be manifested unto us. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. John 1, verse 14, 16. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Psalm 85, verse 10. Many and abundant are the promises that God has made to all those who will be obedient to all His commandments. All who have faith in Christ obtain a rich experience in His goodness and love, which is of more value than gold. It is a goodness that has been recognized in times of great necessity. Then let not any of God's chosen ones suffer their faith to fail, at the time when they should reveal the inward power of the Christian's hope. It is our duty to be very jealous of the glory of God, and bring no evil report even by the sadness of the countenance, or by the ill-advised words, as though the requirements of God were a restriction upon our liberty. The whole person is privileged to bear a decided testimony in every line, in features, in temper, in words, in character, that the service of the Lord is good. Thus they proclaim, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Psalm 19, verse 7. Let your words be positive on the side of the Lord. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed, when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will run in the way of Thy commandments, when Thou shalt enlarge mine heart. Oh, how love I Thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through Thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Psalm 119, verse 1-7, 32, 97, 98. God loves His commandment-keeping people, because through their obedience they give honor to His holy name, testifying of their love for God. The men of the world are surprised, when they hear the sacred truths of the Word of God, that the people professing to believe these high and holy truths have not a more intense and earnest zeal to work for the salvation of the souls of their fellow beings. Our faith and intensity of zeal should be proportionate to the great light which shines upon our pathway. Faith, humble, trusting faith in God, in our homes, in our neighborhood, in our churches, will reveal itself. The Holy Spirit's working will not, cannot, be hindered. God delights to reveal Himself to His people as a Father, as a God in whom they can trust implicitly. But cherished unbelief withholds from us the richest manifestations of the grace of God. Our lack of faith keeps from us the working of the Holy Spirit. It is a grievous mistake on the part of those who are the chosen of God, to be His people and His representatives, to cherish the habit of dwelling upon their disagreeable experiences, as though the way, the truth, and the life were a very disagreeable companion to have. They talk doubt and unbelief, and darkness is the result. When the farmers seek to recommend or exhibit their products, they do not gather up the poorest, but the best specimens. The women possess a zeal to bring the very best golden lumps of butter, molded and prettily stamped. The men bring the best yield of vegetables of every kind. The very best and most attractive fruit is brought, and their appearance does the skillful workers credit. The variety of fruits, the apples, peaches, apricots, oranges, lemons, and plums, all these are very attractive, and make those who look upon the fruit from the orchards and gardens desire to be in the country where they can till the soil. No one would bring the most dwarfed specimens, but the very choicest which the land can produce. And why should not Christians living in these last days reveal the most attractive fruit in unselfish actions? Why should not the fruit of the commandment-keeping people of God appear in the very best representation of good works? Their words, their deportment, their dress should bear fruit of the very best quality. By their fruits, Christ said, ye shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7, verse 16 to 20. Let the church members have the precious traits of character of Christ, and there will be much more said in praise and thanksgiving to God for the treasure of His grace. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 2-7. Read these verses carefully. Mark how full and complete is the provision made for all who accept it. Trials are Christ's workmen to perfect the Christian graces, but these tests are not to sink the believer's faith, but raise it equal to the occasion, that unto all it may be made to appear more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Every trial permitted is designed to exalt the truth to a higher appreciation, that praise to God alone shall be upon the lips of the true disciple of Christ. And the growth in grace is to the honor and glory of God at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Verses 8 to 10. As Christians, we fail in faith and richness of experience, far below our privilege. Keep the worthless, cheap words under bit and bridle. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, says the Apostle, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Verses 13 to 16. Leviticus 11, verse 44-45. And if ye call upon the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1, verse 17-19. Here our duty and work is plainly stated in very simple language. God requires that the fruit of the lips shall be sanctified. Let us consider how largely the words we speak dishonor God. The passionate speech is under the control of Satan. We greatly dishonor God in the many words spoken in conversation. The bright and cheerful side of our religion will be represented by all who are daily consecrated to God. They will express their gratitude to God in bringing Him their thank offerings. We do not want to dishonor God by the mournful relation of trials that appear grievous. All trials that are received as educators will produce joy. The whole religious life will be uplifting, elevating, ennobling, fragrant with good words and works. The enemy is well pleased to have souls complaining and stumbling their way along, depressed, downcast, mourning, and groaning, because Satan wants just such impressions made as to the effects of our faith. God designs that the mind shall take no low level. Says the psalmist, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Psalm 29, verse 1, 2, 30, 1, 2, 4. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me out of all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 34, verse 1-8. Let this chapter be read and committed to memory. Precious is the word of the Lord. If we will take these precious lessons to heart and cut away all this nasty, passionate speech, all these cheap words that are full of levity, if we will empty the mind, cleanse the soul temple, and invite the heavenly guest to come in, there will be no question as to whether we shall impart grace for grace. With sinners, that sanctified mind and heart will be a powerful influence. The fruit will testify of the character of the tree.